up from the CCNSO, Hugo Akiri, Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Chris Desain, Stephen Deerhacker, Eberhard Lisser, Patricia Pobleta, Nigel Roberts, and from the GAC we have Heather Dryden, Suzanne Riddell, and we have Cheryl Langdonor from the At Large, and we have Jaap and Jaap Akkerhus, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, Bernard Turcott from the call, and we have apologies from Paulus Nierenda. Did I miss anyone? Hello, who just joined?
Yeah, hi, it's Frank March here. I finally managed to get through.
Okay, thank you. So we have Frank March on the call as well from the GAC.
Excellent. Thanks, Gabby. So were there any other apologies? Is there anyone else present on the call whose name wasn't called? If not...
Can I apologize in advance that if I drop off the call, I won't come back? Not sure.
Okay. That doesn't require an apology. We might be quite appreciative, Nigel.
I thought you were going to eschew frivolity.
Gabby, could you drop Nigel off the call, please?
No problem.
I could see we're all in a light-hearted mood today, so let's try and keep serious. And we do have quite a large agenda in front of us, so... Yeah, can I ask, as always, if you're not speaking, could you please mute your phone at star 7 and then to speak? It keeps the call clarity much better for all of us. And moving ahead with the agenda, very shortly we'll move to item 2 on the agenda, which is the meeting reports from the last two meetings. So, Gabby, if we could start to load paper 2.1 and then 2.2. But just before we do, I just thought I'd comment on the FNOI. I circulated a draft of what I'm contemplating making as a personal submission to the NTIA. Just for information, and I'd be grateful for any comments or corrections or suggestions regarding that paper. But also, I think this working group isn't empowered to make a submission on it in its own regard. But if members of the working group appreciate the sentiments of what I'm suggesting, it may be used as a cut and paste into other submissions and so on. And also a thanks to Becky for sharing the current CCNSO draft. And I think everyone could also review that document, particularly as it pertains to delegations and redelegations, and make any input to Becky as a member of the CCNSO drafting group to make sure that aspects of delegations and redelegations that we're comfortable with are covered off in that submission. If there's no discussion on that brief aside, can we move on to the meeting report as amended from Singapore? And Bernie, do you want to just step us through the amendment that was made to this paper?
I'm pulling them up as we're chatting. Okay. We made the correction to Olga Cavalli. Should be noted as liaison for the GNSO, and the question mark should be removed. Nigel requested that section 4.3.2 prospective manager be removed. I'll get that up there for you in a sec. Since these slides don't move for themselves. So where were we for the Olga? There we go. So Olga, that's fixed. Next was in section 4, that element that Nigel proposed as prospective manager has been removed. Bill Semich advised that .aq should be added as an example along .um. and I believe that that has been done also in section 4.6.3. And finally, it was that this would be circulated at this meeting for approval. So that's the summary of changes that were brought to the meeting minutes for the June 23rd meeting at our last meeting last week. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Bernie. Is there anything further? Is everyone relaxed now to accept that as the meeting report from the 23rd June meeting? I'll take silence as assent. Okay, moving along to the report of the working group 7 July call, and it's just appearing on screen. For anyone who's on the call, if you're not connected via Adobe Connect, it's probably quite a useful idea to consider doing that so that you can actually see the documents that we're discussing. And Bernie, once again, over to you to walk us through the key points from the 7 July meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I'm not going to run through the list of attendees. If you were there and you don't spot yourself, raise your hand or email me. We'll be glad to correct that. But that's from the official log of the call.
Sorry, I see Martin has his hand raised. Martin.
Yes, so thanks, Keith. Yeah, I put my hand up on the previous document, not to object to the document, but to ask a question, or make a suggestion, I guess. Would it be possible that when a document is circulated for a second time at a meeting, for a meeting, that the changes made in that document are actually done in track changes so that everybody can see it in advance of the discussion? Having got the report for version 2 of last week's call, no, the week before last call, to try and identify what had been done, you've actually got to go through and then do some comparison with that which had been said in the previous version. So I think it would just be useful, and the same thing applies with the various iterations of the documents that we're discussing.
We'll be glad to do that, Martin. Sorry, we've lost the habit as far as the meeting minutes, since all the changes were noted in the meeting report for last week. I didn't think it was critical, but for the other documents, we'll be glad to do that as a standard feature from now on.
Thanks
very much.
Yep. Good point. Okay, moving ahead. Thank you, Bernie.
Okay, so we're skipping down to... we've just covered the modifications to the June 23rd report, so I'm not going to go through that again. The terminology paper, section 3. Martin, given consent is used interchangeably with agree, it should be included in the definition. This was generally accepted, and I believe that change has been brought. 3.2, Bill Semich, the term revocation is not included in the list and prejudges the meaning of redelegation. As such, it should be added. Again, noted as generally accepted, this has been included in the terminology paper. Nigel, the title of section 4.2 is technically incorrect, given some of the terms do not have the same meaning. Other terms used in the reference documentation to convey the same meaning. Proposed, other terms used by IANA in the reference documentation. Now, I did not hear back from Nigel on that, and I'm hoping that that's okay, Nigel. Okay, not hearing, therefore we'll assume he's very happy with that. 3.4, Bill, proposed definition seems to confer power to approve to the manager AC and PC and can lead to confusion. That has been corrected also. Proposed definition does not include delegation. RFC 1591 refers to approval for delegation, and this should be included. I think we've tried to fix that one, too. 3.6, bill again, using .um as an example of CCTLDs that have no permanent residence is not very useful, given it's currently not delegated. .uh is delegated and would be a better example. This was generally accepted. This change has been brought. 3.7, Nigel, definition of ACNTC is problematic for several reasons, and we've got the stuff there. So what we've done is we've reworked that definition, and I think Nigel said that this was generally the way he was thinking, but I did not get a final sign-off on that. And let's see. Report on the ad hoc working group was presented by Nigel. CB will provide, that's Becky, will provide a formal document summarizing the results. I don't think that's been circulated yet. Any other business? There was no other business. Future meetings was the list of meetings, and that was the conclusion of the meeting.
Just a point in terms of the future meetings, I notice that I can't read a calendar very accurately, and Martin observed on the list about the 12th of October meeting, and of course that would be a Wednesday, so we should adjust that date to being the 13th of October, being a Thursday.
I will note that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Over to you, Kim. Sir. I'll take comments and adjustments.
Yeah, Kim has his hand up. Kim.
Yeah. Firstly, apologies. I wasn't at the meeting. I was on vacation last week. That being said, there was a reference to .uh in the minutes. I don't think there is a .uh, so I was just wondering if you could clarify.
UH.
It should be UM.
UM or HM, I think. Can we go back up?
Yes, sir. Actually, that's going to be in the terminology paper, I believe. But if we there, we go. 3.6.
If you're looking for if you're looking for someone that had no people, .hm will do.
Yeah, I believe it was a typo. It's supposed to be .hm.
Okay.
Well spotted. Thanks, Kim. Okay. Is there any other issues or problems with the record of the 7 July meeting? If not, we'll consider it approved with the minor amendments of changing UH to .hm and changing the date of 12th of October to the 13th of October. Thank you all. Moving ahead, we have our terminology document to review again. Looking through the agenda, if we can get through this document in an orderly fashion, then we'll move on to a first review of the consent document. But let's work our way through the terminology paper and see how we get on. So thank you. Bernie, do you want to just concentrate on the changes from the last review? Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I'll be walking through the changes that we just discussed in the meeting report, just to make sure that we're catching all the various things. Now, we were talking about, I don't think there was anything major in the background and introduction. The objectives were okay. In the list of terms was where we had a few changes. In 3.1, we've changed it to agreement or consent as per Martin's excellent note. In 3.2 from the meeting report, we've got Bill's request that revocation be included in the terminology paper that is now the case in 3.9, so that's done. So the Section 3 should be okay at this point. Are there any comments on Section 3? I see no hands and I hear no complaints, so we'll move on to Section 4, analysis. And basically in the original section, Nigel noted the title of Section 4.2 was not quite correct. So if we're going to roll down to that. And it's about 4.2.1, and that's now been changed so that it no longer refers to other terms used in the reference documentation to convey the same meaning, was the objection. And we've now switched in Section 4.2.1 to the text, initial and other relevant uses of the term. And I think that should meet the requirement that we were looking for. Carrying on, item 3.4 from the meeting report, Bill proposed definition seems to cover to approve manager AC and TC. And if we go down to the proposed definition of that we had, we thinned down the definition a lot as per Nigel's comment. So Bill's request was really talking about did we need, the way it was phrased was basically confusing because it might suggest that a redelegation might require the approval of the manager and the AC and the TC. Given the rewording we've done as per Nigel's requirement in 3.7, there's no question of rewording it. That part has been removed, so we're meeting the requirements of Section 3.4 of the meeting report. Bill noted in 3.5 that the proposed definition does not include delegation. Again, given the slimmed-down definition, since we're taking procedural work out of definition, is no longer a case. 3.6, .um as an example. Again, we've got all those corrections to make on that, but that has been done. And finally, in 3.7, which is where I guess we stopped, we basically got into a discussion because the definition of AC and TC seemed to include a lot of procedural and process stuff. And after consultation, basically the changes have been made because that's not our intent. So we slimmed this down to the point where we now have the current definitions that are before you, which is for administrative contact is the role or individual listed in the IANA database of TLDs as such. And the technical contact is the role listed in the IANA database of TLDs as such. So basically right down to the minimum for a variety of reasons. At this point, there is no reason to go beyond that. We need the things that we can agree upon. I will also note that although it was not in the meeting report because it did not occur in the meeting, I believe it was Bill D. who sent in a note regarding the EU and the definition of relevant government and public authority for, instead of just using government. So those two notes that were made are in Section 42, 32, 41, right above at the top of the page on your screen if you're following on Adobe request. And note one is, it is important to note that the ISO 3166-1 entry for the European Union.EU is under the exceptionally reserved list and not under the standard section of countries and territories, which is quite correct.
Couple of questions. Firstly, Patricio, and then Kim. But Patricio.
Hi, for the technical context, there's only a mention of a role and not of an individual.
Good catch. A little too fast with the edit. That'll be fixed in the next version and highlighted. Thank you, Patricio.
Thanks, Patricio. Kim.
Just a note that the actual wording of 423241 regarding the exceptionally reserved list is factually incorrect. I'm happy to provide some slightly altered wording that would make it correct.
Wouldn't that be appreciated? No, it would get put in there. Thank you, Kim.
No problem.
I had my hand up and was about to make the same remark as Kim. I mean, because I mean, the exceptional, the problem is part one is the standard. The exceptional reserve list is just part of the documents of the MA, but not part of the standard. So some slight rewording is needed there.
I know there's a lot of sensitivity there. I'm not familiar with all the intricacies as much as you are, so I'm certain that if you provide me, I'll be glad, rather, if you provide me the wording to insert the correct wording.
Okay, so Yap, Kim, and Bernie to work collectively on improving the wording of 4.2.3.2.4.1. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. We've had a note from Patricio relative to the inclusion of individuals for the definition of technical contact. That's correct. As part of the notes on clinicians in section 42-43, the first note is, as noted in the final report of the DRDWG, the requirements of RFC 1591 may not be applicable to CCTLDs delegated prior to its publication. This goes back to Bill Semich's request that we make sure that that's present. The next one, 42-43-2, the FOI working group will consider the definition of AC and TC in detail, including the issues raised in this section under the topic of valid manager AC and TC. So basically, all the items that are listed in section 4.2, which touch upon the various changes that have been brought to countries and country codes and governments and using all the proper words, if you will, and their impact on wording for approving redelegations will be dealt with in the section on valid AC, manager AC and TC. That's the end of the notes in section 4.2.4, and basically where we stopped last time. If there are any questions at this point regarding the new definitions.
Someone's dealing in Morse code by the sound of it.
I'm unfortunately not fluent in Morse, so I couldn't take that question.
No, me neither.
All right. So I think we seem to be okay with the current definition of AC and TC with the amendment that was noted from Patricio. We've got a list of proposed qualifiers to help us talk about AC and TC. There's just a few of them. Basically, active, which is in regular contact with IANA and the CCTLD manager and can carry on its responsibilities. Whatever we define those responsibilities to be. So we didn't want to get carried away into prejudging what things can be, so we've added in bracket at the end of the definition, TBD, meaning to be determined. Any questions on active? Okay. Our second definition in 4252 is inactive. The AC or TC can be contacted by IANA, but cannot contact the CCTLD manager, or is not in a position to carry out its responsibilities, to be determined again. So basically, IANA can talk to the contact point, but the contact point has noted that it's not in a position to carry out its responsibilities for whatever reason. And if we go through the IANA reports on redelegation, basically we note that those kinds of definitions or classifications for the AC and TC will be useful. Also, as mentioned last week, we're trying to define a set of qualifiers which we'll be able to carry through so that they'll mean pretty much the same thing along with other terms. So, any questions on inactive? Okay. Moving on to 4253, unresponsive. The AC or TC cannot be, that'll be fixed, sorry, contacted by IANA over the short term. IANA will investigate the situation. There are several cases and where IANA has difficulty getting a hold of a contact. Now, sometimes those situations get resolved and everything is okay, but we're trying to define a state where IANA is in the process of investigating what's going on because they can't get a hold of the AC and the TC. The resolution of that investigation, whatever the definitions are given, should be probably that the contact will end up being one of the other statuses, i.e. active, inactive, or derelict at the completion of the investigation. So this term is meant to sort of say, well, there's something going on, we don't know what it is, and we're reevaluating the status of the contact. Are there any questions on that? I'll take that as a no, and that people understand what we're trying to do here. Finally, 4254, derelict, which I know Desiree really hated the term, but after consultation with Becky, from a legal point of view, it seems quite accurate. The AC or TC cannot be contacted by IANA, and there is no expectation that it will be possible to establish contact. So basically, one can imagine, and we will, again, please note that we will be looking at these in greater detail under the topic of valid manager AC and TC, but we're just trying to define the term where basically after investigating the situation, there is documentation or documentary evidence that can convince IANA that no one's ever going to get in contact with that AC or TC again, and basically they're done. So that sort of is a very clear indication that that's done. An example of what that could be, just to be very clear, if the contact, let's say the TC, is an individual and that individual passes away, then obviously I think we can document the fact that they're going to be now derelict, which can cause some problems because under the current processes and procedures, as I understand them over at IANA, if you want to replace a TC that has become derelict, you actually need the approval of both the incumbent AC and TC. So one of the issues that we'll also be looking at in validator manager AC and TC. Are there any questions on derelict AC or TC?
Yeah, both Kim and Stephen have their hands up. Firstly, Kim.
Yeah, I didn't have a question about derelict per se, but perhaps an extra dimension that may or may not be captured as a qualifier, which is that we have situations where we're able to contact the administrative or technical contact, but it is not via the officially recorded mechanisms. And for whatever reason, they're not able or unwilling to update the record so that the publicly displayed who is information or what have you actually refers to either their current contact details or their current place of employment. So effectively you have a situation where in one sense it's unresponsive because what we have officially recorded cannot be contacted, but on the other hand it's active because on an informal basis we have other means of reaching that particular person. We know that they're involved with operation of the domain, but they're not willing to update their record. So again, I'm not sure whether that needs to be captured or whether it has any implications for further work, but I just wanted to highlight that sometimes we do have that scenario where there's a mismatch and it probably doesn't fall into any of those four categories.
Okay, Kim, thanks. My thinking is the way we've got it structured now, we don't refer to official communication mechanisms. We've tried to leave it as generic as possible, or I hope we have, and are saying as long as you can contact them by whatever mechanism and you're happy that it's them at the other end of that mechanism, then I think that's the definitions we've got here. And if you're uncertain or have doubts about how that communication is working or et cetera, then it probably goes on to unresponsive as a general classification where you try and clear up things. Would that be okay for you?
Yes, certainly. I mean, I don't have any strong feelings about whether that distinction was important, and I think that's perfectly fine.
And as I repeated several times, I'm sorry for doing so again, we'll be taking another whack in more depth of the AC and TC under the valid one. And by that time, we may have more information or more requirements, and we may decide to adjust that. But for the moment, I think we're trying to capture the general themes. I believe we had another question.
Yes, Stephen.
Thank you. If Becky is still on the call, I'd be curious to hear from her an expansion of the legal concepts around this the definition of derelict from a legal standpoint.
I'm not sure. She mentioned earlier in the call that she might have to leave for half.
She did. Okay. I will take that up with her offline then.
Yeah, I had that chat with her in Singapore after she read the document, and she noted Desiree's discomfort with the term, and basically she said, no, the way we've defined it, that's exactly what that word means. But I'm sure she'll be glad to give you a really good detailed explanation about that, given she's really good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'll check. I'll chase it down. Thank you.
So I don't see any other hands, and I hear no other voices. That would complete the section on administrative contact and technical contact. Are there any final questions? Hearing none, we'll consider the section of AC and TC concluded. The just as a wrap-up, and I think something that's going to make our work easier as we go through some of these other ones, really trying to get away from procedural notions and the definitions in the terminology document, I think, will allow us to move further. It was obviously the procedural stuff and the definition of AC and TC that caused all sorts of concerns. And really, in a definition, those procedural concerns really have no need to be there. So I think they'll allow us to move on. All right. Why can I hear a caller when Bernie cannot? Okay, I don't know. Does someone want to ask a question? Oh, Eberhard, okay. I really can't hear you, Eberhard. I don't know if you're unmuted or not. Can you, if your question is short and you type it, I'll be glad to deal with it by voice.
Christina's saying she can't hear either. Checking with operator. And strangely, I heard nothing from Eberhard either. If someone who can hear Eberhard can relay the question anyway, that would be useful.
I can't type this well. Sorry about that, Al.
How bizarre.
What would you like us to do, Mr. Chair?
So Christina's going to call Eberhard back. So
we'll put a marker in there for his question and deal with it when we get him back online.
Yep. And Stephen, do you have your hand up again, or did you forget to take it down? Thank you. Carry on, Benny.
Thank you, sir. All right, our next exciting topic is delegation. Do this for a while, and you need to generate some excitement for yourself. Initial and other relevant uses of the term delegation. The title of RFC 1591, Domain Name System Structures and Delegation. Further on in RFC 1591, the Internet Assigned Names and Numbers Authority, IANA, is responsible for the overall coordination and management of the domain name system, DNS, and especially the delegation of portions of the namespace called top-level domains. RFC 1591 again also mentioned our concerns raised when it's necessary to change the delegation of an established domain from one party to another. RFC 1591 again, most of the same concerns are relevant with a subdomain is delegated in a general, and in general the principles described here apply recursively to all delegations. GAC Principle 2005 has the definition for delegation, means the procedures that need to be taken by ICANN/IANA for the inclusion of a ccTLD into DNS of route upon the receipt of an authoritative request. And finally, in the IANA document understanding the ccTLD delegation and redelegation procedure, we have country code top-level domains, our two-letter top-level domains that are derived from ISO 3166-1 standard IANA responsible for receiving requests relating to the delegation and redelegation. So there's really no argument about using the term delegation to talk about including a ccTLD in the root and in the IANA database of TLDs. So that would conclude section 431 on initial and other relevant uses of the term. Are there questions, comments?
No one has their hand up, but Eberhard apparently is back, so perhaps we can return to Eberhard's question at this point.
Eberhard, are you there? I see you typing, but I can't hear you.
No, okay, carry on, Benny, and we'll see.
Okay. Moving on to section...
Can you hear me now?
Ah, there he is.
Okay. Okay, I'm using the iPad Adobe Connect, so it doesn't allow me to raise the hand. I have a question to contacting. We haven't discussed what method of contact is permissible. It may be for some other reason that some contact or manager may choose to go the paper route instead of email. For medical legal purposes, as we say here.
I think that falls under the discussion I had with Kim. At this point, for these definitions, we're trying to keep it simple, or the old KISS principle, and we're just saying as long as IANA can contact them, or they can contact IANA, then we're meeting the requirements. Details about how the things you're talking about right now, which is in part relevant to what Kim was talking about earlier, I think we're trying to deal with under the topic of valid AC, manager AC, and TC, where we will explore those things in more detail. And I'm writing those papers right now. So I'm hoping that's okay.
Well, as long as it's not for one party, namely IANA, to decide what it considers a valid method of communication.
No, I don't think that's what we're trying to do.
No, this is very important, and this must be resolved at some stage of the discussion, not necessarily under this heading.
Okay. I'll take a note and put it in the meeting report just so we don't forget it.
Good.
Regarding contact method. And I'll know what that means.
Okay. So, back to the issue of delegation. Any questions so far on delegation? There are no hands up. So, no, carry on, Bernie.
All right. Section 432. Just because that's the form we've given to all these entries, there is no competing term, so there's no entry there, and I don't gather that's going to create any problems for anyone unless someone really wanted to use another term than delegation. Has Nigel joined us again? No. Unfortunate. I'm sure that he'll be able to email me on that at some point. All right, on to Section 433, the issues. There's, under 4331, there's no official definition in RFC 1591 or in use by IANA of delegation, or none that I could find anyways. The only, 4332, the only definition is from the GAC Principles 2005, and relies on the definition of authoritative request, which is defined as, for the purposes of this document, is the request for the delegation or redelegation concerning a CCTLD registry addressed to the ICANN-IANA by the appropriate body according to national law, showing that the request is correctly made, authoritative, and in line with the applicable law, or in absence of such law, RFC 1591. The notion of an authoritative request speaks to process, which is going to be considered later on when we're going to deal with consent, when we're going to deal with valid manager AC and TC, and certainly when we consider unconsented redelegations. However, as we've seen with the AC and TC, getting into process matters at a definition stage right now, I don't really think is appropriate. So, although it's unfortunate, I think we're looking at going to a simpler definition than the definition proposed by the GAC in the GAC Principles 2005, and I see that Martin has his hand up, so I'll be glad to take that question now.
Thanks, Bernie. Could you scroll back up to where you've got the GAC Principles definition? What you've done, what you seem to have done, is focus on the second part of the definition, which is the, as I read it, the thing that triggered the delegation. whereas the delegation itself, according to the GAC principles, means the procedures that need to be taken for the inclusion of a ccTLD in the DNS route. And that, I don't think, does depend on the meaning of an authoritative request. The authoritative request is simply that thing which triggers the delegation process.
Well, given the definition of an authoritative request and that it's in the definition of delegation, A. B, there is, to my knowledge, no process within IANA to understand what is a valid authoritative request or how to process it at this point. IANA accepts delegation requests and accepts redelegation requests for ccTLDs. So I see that definition as having certainly some issues, but I am glad to take the general consensus of the group here. Maybe just as an assistance to the discussion, we can look at the definition that's being proposed, which is, again, a very simple definition, which eschews process. Delegation refers to the inclusion of a ccTLD in the DNS route and the IANA database of TLDs, period. So I'll be glad to take other questions or comments on this.
Kim has his hand up, but before I hand over to Kim, I guess the issue is that if it's not in the IANA database of TLDs, then it's not in the DNS route. So it may be a slightly superfluous inclusion of the words in the DNS route. Anyway, Kim.
I guess a related observation. We get delegation requests that don't necessarily require root zone action immediately. In fact, most new TLDs at the time of delegation, they're not ready to go in the root. The addition to the root might be months or even over a year later. And similarly, if you want to take it to the extreme, we actually list all of the ccTLDs in the root database, even if they're not delegated. So UM is a perfect example. That's in the IANA database. It's just not in the root zone. So I don't know if it's arguing about trivialities to talk about that, but the two are sort of distinct from each other.
Yeah, I take the point, actually, but I suppose accuracy of definitions is useful, so getting our wording right at the start won't hurt us. Okay. Any further observations relating to this aspect of delegation? If not, please continue, Bernie.
Thank you, sir, but I think we've reached a point where we probably going to need to decide whether we keep the GAC definition or whether we accept the proposed definition or if we want to modify either of those as our definition. And how would you like to proceed, Mr. Chair?
I'm not sure in the absence of any sort of strong opinions being expressed.
Keith, it's Chris. Can we not just send it out to the list and get a... I mean, I know what my opinion is, but the scattered call last week, call this week, might be easier just to send the point out to the list. So we can get it and get an opinion in writing.
All right, so we'll take a note that we cannot reach consensus on this. We'll explain the point in an email and ask for input on the list.
Yep. Thanks, Bernie. And Kim, is your hand up again, or did you just forget to take it down?
I just left it hanging. I'll take it down.
Okay. So please engage in debate on the list when prompted. Thank you. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Will that be okay for you too, Martin?
Yeah, it'd be fine for me. My point was that I didn't think that the wording on 4332 was exactly right, and certainly I have no problems with Kim's proposal, but let's just go through a written procedure. I'm quite happy with that.
All right, thank you. So hopefully we'll come up with a definition that can be supported by the group. And that really closes up delegation. Are there any final questions on delegation? Okay. That would conclude that topic. Interested parties served by the CCTLD, and also known under the heading of Local Internet Community. 441, initial and other relevant uses of the term. RFC 1591, Section 4. Significantly interested parties in the domain should agree that the designated manager
Your available calling time will expire in 30 seconds.
Oh, my. Agreed the designated manager is the appropriate party, hopefully, who will not expire in 30 seconds. In another part of Section 4 of RFC 1591, we also have, however, it's also appropriate for interested parties to have some voice in selected the designated manager. In Section 6, we have, it's also very helpful for the IANA to receive communication from other parties that may be concerned or affected by the transfer. From the GAC Principle of 2005, we have local internet community. It's a local community in the country associated with the country code and includes the national government. This definition is specific to the purposes identified in this document and not broader. That concludes Section 441. I don't know if there are questions or comments here. I see no hands up and I hear no voice. Okay. So, 442, other terms used by IANA in the reference documentation. We're talking mostly in redelegation request reports. We've identified where they come from. Community, community sentiment, interested parties, significantly interested parties, other parties, parties served by the CCTLD, local interest in the country, local internet community, local stakeholders, persons concerned or affected by the transfer, persons and or organizations that may be significantly affected, persons and organizations that may be significantly affected, public interest and stakeholders. So basically, and just to be clear, we've run through all the documentation, and these are not as we say in English, onesies and twosies. There are multiple references to these terms throughout the documentation. And obviously, there's a lot of them, and it's normal that people can be confused. We should be fair in noting, we have the details of the analysis if anyone really that interested in this. But what the one interesting thing to note in these things is these terms come in waves throughout the documentation. You see them rising, they crest, they fall, and then they go away. So a variety of these terms over the years have come and gone, and without explanation or comment just from one IANA report on redelegation to the next. All of a sudden, one term is banished and replaced by another term, and that's the term for the next 5 or 6 reports, maybe 10, and then all of a sudden there's another change, which is, again, unexplained or unnoted. Issues, or 4.3, the number of terms in use is certain to lead to confusion. The definition provided by the GAC can be improved to better represent the intent of 1591. And what we're talking about here is really that local internet community was a term that was created much after RFC 1591. Section 441 clearly shows that we were talking about interested parties was the generic term. So if we're trying to get back to the source and make a definition, it would seem that going to the term interested parties served by the CCTLD to take the best of both worlds and be specific, because although that entire term is not term used in RFC 1591, that's because where the term interested parties is used in RFC 1591 is clearly in the context of parties that are served by the CCTLD. So if we're creating a generic definition of a term and we're taking it outside the context of RFC 1591, then we should make that specific. So we're proposing that the term interested parties served by the CCTLD would seem to capture the intent of RFC 1591 and not 159, and that'll be corrected. Are there, yes, Martin?
Yes, Martin has a question.
Yeah, thanks. The only question I had really was on this 4441. And the concept of interested parties, which goes back originally to the RFC 1591. But of course, 1591 was before you had the advent of things like .tv and .me. And so if you have interested parties in those cases, don't you actually have a crossover with GTLDs or a risk of crossover with GTLDs?
I understand what you're saying, Martin. The issue of CCTLDs being used for purposes other than representing the actual country code and the ambiguity that causes. But nonetheless, I think the issue that Bernie's alluding to is that there is a specific group of interested parties of the that arises from the registrants within a CCTLD, whether they're in country or out of country, and that's probably trying to find the definition of a phrase that encapsulates the entire community. I don't know if that clarifies it all, Martin.
Keith, it's Chris. If I, when you've got a second, I'd like to say thanks.
Sure. Chris, and then there's Stephen with his hand up also.
I was just going to add to what you said. I understand Martin's point completely. The question I would ask is this. In a redelegation scenario of a CCTLD where, for whatever reason, the majority of the registrants are outside of the territory that CCTLD is a CCTLD for, the question we need to ask ourselves is, should we be taking any account of the registrants, notwithstanding the fact that those registrants are outside of the territory? Because if the answer is no, we shouldn't, then you can refine your definition to refer specifically to in-territory/local. If the answer is that we should, then at least take it into account, then I would suggest that Bernie's current wording, apart from arguing necessarily about individual words, more suits that situation.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Is it Eberhard?
I think it doesn't matter who the parties are and where they are. There may be rights involved, and we as this group, or Ayana or I cannot just decide, or even GEC can decide, no, these rights are not relevant, or they're not local, or it doesn't work like that. So, I don't particularly like the word sir.
I'm sorry, that command is not recognized. You have entered an invalid extension. Reconnecting caller.
Well, you must have done something awfully wrong there, Eberhard. Sorry, carry on.
But it's better than what I've seen so far. Interested parties. Perhaps we should just use interested parties, not and leave the word served by the CCTLD out.
No, I don't think you can do that, Eberhard, because otherwise you'll have Rupert Murdoch as an interested party.
He may be in .tv.
Yes. But then you have to define what you mean by an interested party. And if you don't say serving the local internet community, you'll have to have some other definition. Because otherwise it's just someone who turns up and says, I'm interested. And that's not acceptable.
No, I'm quite clear. We need to define it. I'm just saying that it's... I have a bit of a problem with the word served by.
I think that's open to the interpretation as loosely as if somebody is looking at a web page that resolves in .na, then they probably have an interest in the CCTLD. They're probably an interested party in the .na CCTLD. So, you know, I think attempting to bring it to the lowest common denominator of who might be interested in the issue. However, Stephen has had his hand up for some time. Stephen, your question.
Thank you, Keith. By way of providing some additional background as an example for a specific CC for Martin, we are very cognizant of two things. One, we have a very geographic specific registrant base, and we are doing our best to adhere to local regulations there with regards to privacy, and we are also very cognizant with our actual on-island internet community and doing what we can to bring revenue in to support various initiatives there. So it's kind of for us at least, it's a somewhat broader definition than I think we'll end up with here. But I just wanted to give that to Martin as a way of background.
Okay. I think we're actually all in reasonable agreement that the local internet community is so vague as to not be able to be defined, but interested parties or significantly interested parties is something that can be more closely defined, and some further work is required. But in any case, if there's no other questions, then carry on, Bernie. Or just noting that in 4.4.4.1, there is a typo, and the last word should be ROC 1591, not ROC 159. But thanks, Bernie.
I noted the 159 issue. What's our takeaway from the selection of the term? Shall we do an email discussion of that one too?
I
would think so.
I just wonder if, or it seemed Martin had the issue, whether there remains an issue or whether Martin's reasonably satisfied with the way it is. So, Martin.
It wasn't actually an issue. It was more the fact of noting that we are about to adopt a definition which would cover those aspects of a CCTLD that were being used for GTLD purposes, however you might actually define that. I'm not particularly worried about it. It was more a matter of the fact that I think as soon as we say, well, we're looking at interested parties, which when 1591 was written, I don't think people actually had focused in their mind that that was actually possible, or that people would be doing it, since then that has happened, and the meaning of interested parties does mean that for a certain number of CCTLDs, their prime audience is probably actually outside country.
Sure, and I guess the issue is once you have registrants in a CCTLD, regardless of where they come from, they've built their brand and product around their domain name and so on, so are they an interested party? In many instances, very much so.
But Keith, you don't need a redelegation for that to be put into relief, in that a registry might change its registration policies, and as the process of perhaps requiring everybody to have a registration address in territory require people to either conform or change their registration, but it's not a specifically delegation of TLD issue that.
No, but just merely observing that they are an interested party, I think. On the basis that they should be included or be given a voice at the table relating to matters to do with the delegation of the CCTLD, their viewpoint as a registrant can be noted.
Yes.
I'm
sorry, Stephen, if I over-raised hand here. The point Martin raises is interesting. The notion, I think, is that, or as far as I seem to read in the GAC principles, is that sovereign nations can decide what they want. And basically, if a CCTLD, now I agree there are some that the relationships are a little different, but the point is, if a CCTLD has a registration policy which allows foreign registrations under whatever conditions, they're registrants, and they're registrants in that CCTLD, and I think what we're trying to do in the ICANN context is allow for people to have a voice. That's the whole idea of the bottom-up model as far as I'm concerned. If a CCTLD has limited registrations to citizens of its country, whether they be in country or not, that's another decision. And so for me, it seems to be more reasonable along those lines. Over to you, sir.
Okay. I think let's try and move on and see if it still remains a topic of curiosity at the end of the paper. So please continue, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. All right. Over at the definition of, we got jammed up on the term, by the CCTLD. Now on to the definition. I think we've tried to borrow from the GAC definition here. The collection of individuals, organizations, companies, and associations, including government, and I am now mindful of Bill D's comment when noting government, which have an interest in the delegation, redelegation, and operation of the CCTLD, bracket S, because now they can be more than one, which is are associated with their country or territory. Note, the FOI working group will cover interested parties under a specific topic. That's coming up after consent and valid manager AC and TC. I don't know if there are questions, thoughts, or comments on the proposed definition as opposed to the selection of the term.
As long as the definition is final, we can finalize the definition with this discussion to follow. I do not agree with anybody having input into a change of manager redelegation other than the incumbent. Okay? We cannot just decide, because there may be property rights involved, we cannot just decide that some local can decide he wants to have somebody removed. It's not for us to decide. So we must somehow bring this in.
Well, I think quite clearly IANA, in their decision-making process, consult with all of these various terms, local internet community or significantly interested parties. So while an individual may not be actually requesting a redelegation, they may be interested, significantly interested in that redelegation process and should have a voice, I think, which is the whole purpose of this term, that in seeking broad support for a redelegation, interested parties should signify their satisfaction or otherwise with the incumbent operator.
I don't agree with that. If you look at redelegation, it's revocation and delegation. I have no problem with the delegation part, but nobody has to have any say into a revocation of a functioning CCTLD, in particularly one that was established before 1591. It's absolutely clear, and it's a point that I cannot move off on.
Keith, if I may.
Yes, Benny.
I don't think we're granting any authority whatsoever, and this is the main reason why we have an entire topic dedicated to interested parties to understand exactly what that means and the points Eberhardt is talking about. In this definition, we're just talking about the people who may have an interest in the delegation. To my mind, at least, we're not talking about authority. Back to the statements in 441, we're talking about, 4413, it's also very helpful for the IANA to receive communication from other parties that may be concerned or affected by the transfer. when we're talking about redelegations, of course. So,
yeah, that's the delegation part, but not the revocation part of the redelegation.
Again, all I'm saying is that transfer is used as one word in RFC 1591. There is the notion of hearing from interested parties, and all we're trying to say here is that this collection, as defined, are the people that may be interested to hear from, but does not confer any actions. And again, I'll repeat, and maybe it's just me, I'm willing to take that. The whole point of the exact impact of interested parties will be covered off in the topic under interested parties, and that's why that note under 4452 is there, because I didn't want to get into that exact discussion.
Okay.
Again, we don't need to finalize it here, but as long then we need to note that this is not the final definition. Bill Semich and I have been in the DRD group very clear that we do not agree with that the local internet community or an internet interested party has a role to play into, for example, suggesting, demanding, or requesting a redelegation. Once a redelegation has been requested by the manager, for example, I have no problems with the local or whatever other interested party having to give input into the selection or the transfer. But to initiate the proceedings, it's not possible.
I don't think this is looking for the people to initiate proceedings. It's just trying to define what the interested parties might be. Should there be a request, IANA has to consult with the interested parties regarding the matter to see if there's general consent. So it's only the definition of the term interested parties. It's not empowering them to act in any particular way. So does that clarify, Eberhard?
Yes, if we just, as I said, we don't need to finalize it, but I want to make sure, and we have discussed it in the past group, I want to repeat myself, I want to make sure that there is no agreement, there was no agreement, and there will be no agreement, that third parties have a role to play in a request for a redelegation. I cannot agree with that.
Just to be clear, Al, is Bernie, from the point Keith made, and I think it's exactly what we needed to get to, in defining interested parties, we are not defining who can or cannot submit a redelegation request in any way. I think we can say that, that this is not about who can submit a redelegation request. This is only about identifying the communities which with IANA may wish to consult if there is a redelegation request. That would do it for me. Okay, because that's the intent here, and as usual when we end up talking through these things, I think we end up with very clear language that helps us all understand those things. If everyone is sort of okay with that, I sort of like that too. Keith?
Okay. I think that's achieving some consensus, and I see a couple of thumbs going up. But Daniel has a question. Daniel?
Yes, not exactly a question. You actually answered most of the issues already, but I still think that it will be good if we improve the language in this section 4451 to not refer to delegation, redelegation, and operation. I mean, those are just the interested parties that are concerned with the operation of the CCTODs. I think removing delegation and the delegation wording from this paragraph will help resolve the issue.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Look, I think, can we take something from UN and treaty organization drafting processes and their use of square brackets? If we put the current definition in 4.4.5.1 for interested parties in square brackets, and so that it becomes our sort of vaguely accepted definition to be further discussed, and when we get to that specific discussion, we'll come back and, if necessary, revise the actual definition as provided. Is that a reasonable way forward? Not hearing any dissent. Let's try that. Okay. If we've dealt with interested parties, noting that we only have another 30 minutes of this call, can we move on to the next topic, which is manager? Thanks, Bernie.
I'm here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So that will conclude interested parties for the moment. The takeaway is that we are proposing 4451 be in square brackets, given the note in 4452, where we will be having an entire topic dedicated to the concept of interested parties. I also take away the note that I discussed with L. Is that okay for everyone?
Can you clarify this again slowly? That I didn't follow really well.
Two things. Keith's comment is that the definition in 4451 will be put in square brackets and saying we haven't finished working on it, which should be good for you, well. The second thing is that I will insert a note regarding the fact that this is not about who can submit a redelegation request, as we had discussed earlier.
Okay.
Is that okay?
It's getting late here. I'm getting slower and slower.
I know the feeling, Elle. Don't worry. I know the feeling. All right. Let's conclude on section 4 and move on to section 5. 4.5.1, initial and other relevant uses of the term. The only section I found to be applicable here is from RFC 1591. For any transfer of the designated manager trusteeship from one organization to another. Does anyone know of historical references that are similar to manager? I see no hands, I hear no questions, so I'll take it that 4.5.1 is okay. 4.5.2, again, our scouring of the documentation has provided a number of views. Caretaker, delegate, manager, operator, organization, registry.
Bernie, can I just interrupt for a moment? Someone has their phone not on mute, so there's a lot of background interference and losing lots of audio. So, sorry, could everybody who's not talking please mute? And, Bernie, could you pick up from where you started, I guess, on 4.5.2?
Yes, sir. I'll be glad to do that. Again, other terms used in the documentation, as with the other lists, most of these terms come from IANA reports over the years. These include all-inclusive caretaker, legee, manager, operator, organization, registry, as in CCTLD registry, sponsoring organization, supporting organization, temporary caretaker, and trustee. So there are 10 of them. The same comments apply as the previous list for interested parties. These come and go like waves through the IANA reports on redelegations over the years. There's never any comments given as to why a term is introduced or why it's removed. It appears one day and doesn't appear another IANA report all of a sudden, but they are definitely clumped together. So I don't know if anyone has any other terms that they know of would like to see included in section 452.
Oh, no.
Would everyone please press star 7 on their phone? Would everyone please press star 6 on their phone? Working.
Yes, it's better now.
Okay. That was exciting. It was indeed. Christina, do we have any idea what was causing that?
No, I don't know. I'm still talking to the operator, so I'll let you know when I know.
Yes, it's obvious.
Bernie.
No, it's obviously cell phone interference from somewhere, and so that indicates to me that someone doesn't have their phone muted. Please remember to keep your phone muted at all times when you're not speaking. Anyway, is Bernie still on the call? Bernie? Obviously not.
Oh, Bernie dropped off.
Okay.
Yeah, he said he would go out and call back. He wrote this on the chat.
Okay. Let's give him a moment or two. It can't take too long to redial, I wouldn't think.
The local cell phone carrier in Namibia is called MTC, and when this happens, we always say MTC is making the connection.
Okay, I suspect it was Rupert Murdoch myself. Bernie's back. Bernie, please continue.
Whew, that was painful. We were at 452 asking if there were any other terms that people wanted to see included or thought some of those were not correct.
owner. I said owner.
Owner. I did not find that term in the documentation.
I know. I was just being facetious here.
Ah, okay. It was good then. All right, moving on. 453. Oops, sorry about that. Issues. The number of terms in use is certain to lead to confusion. Only the term CCTLD registry has been formally defined by the GAC. Just to go back to that definition. I didn't include it. Oh, how unfortunate. Okay. Selection. The term manager is used in RFC 1591 is a term that is used the most often in the reference documents and is widely used by the CCTLD community. There are two notes. Operator. The term operator is defined later in this document. Organization. The term organization should not be used as a synonym for manager as it can lead to confusion. So basically, we're proposing to use the term manager. I'll take comments and questions at this point. Okay, hearing none, we'll go on, assuming that the term manager is okay for everyone. We have a proposed definition, again, which we try to keep thin. Manager, the entity, whether an organization, enterprise, government, or individual, responsible for managing and administering a CCTLD and is listed in the IANA database of TLDs. Note, the IANA database...
Sorry. I can't live with the word responsible. Can't have it. No go.
Okay. So manager...
Local issue. Local Namibian issue. Can't have it.
Keith, you going to take this?
What are you suggesting instead of responsible, Everhart? I kind of see some issues with the words responsible. I mean, who of us CCTLD managers are responsible? Perhaps there is an alternative word.
I haven't gotten at the moment, but I would actually, I mean, to call a manager who is managing, that's a duplication, yeah. But I cannot have responsible for in there at the moment. You must come up with something else.
Yeah. Okay. What about something like the entity blah? Delegated to manage and administer a CCTLD and is listed in the IANA database as TLDs.
Why don't we write managing and administering CC, entity managing and administering a CCTLD and listed in
IANA?
I can
be very happy by removing responsible for.
Yeah, okay, let's do that, unless anyone has any objection. I see Stephen has his hand up. Stephen.
I'm assuming here we're correlating manager to sponsoring organization in the IANA database at this point?
That is.
No?
Yeah.
That is the point of note 485.52. The IANA database of TLDs currently
thank you.
Uses the term sponsoring organization when referring to manager.
See that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Kim has an observation.
I guess my observation would be removing responsible for changes the meaning of the definition. So what would then be the definition of manager if there is a party that is not listed in the IANA database that is managing and administering a CCTLD?
Good point. So that may arise in the qualifiers, let's stick with defining the term of...
Yep. So Keith, just to answer Kim, the manager, as in our discussion or for the purposes of this working group, is the one who is who manages and administers and is listed.
Okay.
If you subcontract this to somebody else, it's a separate issue.
Does that answer your question, Kim?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Well, we can, as usual, we can put some more grease on it and put it. We don't need to finalize it at all. We can just think about it and, given some sleep, maybe we come up with a much more better answer.
Okay, let's look at the qualifiers and see if that addresses Kim's point a little more clearly. Thanks, Bernie. Oh, sorry, Stephen, is your hand still up, or do you have a new question?
No, it's down. I just haven't gotten it down.
Okay, thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Proposed qualifiers, trying to stick to the previous list, but there are a few additional ones, as you'll see. Active manager, the manager is directly and regularly involved in managing and administering the CCTLD and is in regular contact with IANA of the ACNPC. As far as we could tell, that was the simplest we could get to an active manager. Are there questions or comments?
Does it have to be via the ACNPC?
I miss that, Eberhard.
On 4561?
Yes.
The manager is directly and regularly involved in managing and administering and is in regular contact with IANA, full stop. Remove via the ACNPC.
I can live with that.
Sorry, Kim here. What's the distinction you're trying to make there? Because, you know, the ACNPC are effectively the agents of the manager in the context of route management.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, but we are having a definition here.
I guess.
Well, I mean, you know,
say
the manager as listed in the IANA database does not have contact details that we have. So, and it's usually not a person; it's an entity. So, I don't know the implications of having regular contact with an entity with which we don't maintain contact details. We do maintain contact details.
I don't see the implication of having an organization which you don't need to talk to. Then we can dispense with the manager and with SC. We only have to deal with the ACNPC.
If I may, sir.
Keith, can I say something, please, Chris?
Chris.
I need to drop off the call. So before I do, I just wanted to say I'm actually very concerned and unhappy about these discussions taking place on a telephone call. We're redrafting or drafting definitions. These discussions are very valuable and very valid, but they need to be taking place in writing. There are heaps of people not on this call who won't have the benefit of understanding why a change has been made, if a change is going to be made. And really, if you've had the document and you've had a chance to read it, concerns and suggestions on redrafting as opposed to matters of principle really need not to be done on the fly.
Look, Chris, I'm 100% with you on that. But we're discussing this, and as you recall, I have said several times, I'm quite happy with this to go on the mailing list, put brackets around it or whatever, so that we have indicated there have been discussions, and there have been. I fully agree with you that we cannot do this on telephone calls. We have to do it by email and at least two calls and things like this.
Yeah, I'm just
so that we get consensus.
We're talking about actually making changes right now. As opposed to a square bracketing, I have no issue with. Discussion in general terms, I have no issue with. Although, to be frank with you, Eberhard, I would much prefer it if you actually had sent. I appreciate you may not have had the time. I do get that, but it would be better if you had sent a note that said, "I cannot live with this word," because that gives everybody else an opportunity to think about it. But I'm just concerned about changes being made, like with Bernie, nothing to do with you personally, Bernie, but Bernie saying things like, I can live with that, and stuff like that. It's inappropriate to be making changes like that on this call, I think. But having dropped that into the conversation, I now need to go, so I apologize.
Thank you, Chris. We'll now blame you for everything that...
I'm very happy to take the blame, but Keith, it's part of my new responsibility.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, Bernie.
All right. We were on 4561, and we were talking about via the AC and PC, and I guess we can take that online, and we'll post the next version of the document quickly. So let's run through the list of items that we've got. Proposed manager. In a redelegation request, the party which will become the manager if the request is completed by IANA. So we need to differentiate between which party is what in a redelegation request. When we talked about this in Singapore, some people were unhappy about the term proposed. I remember Dottie thinking it conferred some sort of additional support or implied acceptance, which I don't think it does, but is simply meant to identify the other party in a redelegation request that's being processed. Doesn't mean that it's going to be completed by IANA. Any questions on that? Okay.
What happens if there is two competing, like in the in Western Sahara, there is the Frelimo and the Moroccan government? Which one of them is the proposed one?
I think we're
that's the issue that I have with the second part or the right part of the definition. How do we know the one that will become? If there is more than one, what then?
To my mind, it's not an issue, Eberhardt, because if you've got several, in the case of Western Sahara, I don't think it's currently delegated. So we're talking about delegation requests. If there are several delegation requests pending in front of IANA, then there are several proposed managers, simply. Is just a term to refer to the party in a delegation request in the example you lead, you provide. I don't see what the problem is. There could be 20. They are all proposed managers. It doesn't confer any specific qualities to the person named in the application.
Okay.
It's like saying there's a bus driver. If there are several buses that are being driven, then there are several drivers. That's it, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. Any other questions? Okay, we've taken up the term inactive again. The manager is no longer directly and regularly involved in managing and administering CCTLD and is not in regular contact with IANA. Via the AC&TC. Let's not take up the via AC&TC discussion again. It'll be noted. We can beat it up on the email list. But except for the via AC&TC, are there any questions or comments? Okay, I don't see any. Incumbent manager.
Should we not maybe take the same wording like derelict?
Derelict comes a little later, Eberhardt, in 45.
Okay, sorry, I don't see it on the page. Okay.
Inactive is still inactive. There, in a sense, when we say inactive, whether it be a contact or a manager, there is a potential that it can transit from inactive back to active. Derelict. As we explained under the contract,
okay.
There is no hope I mean, it's formal. It can never transit back. Once you've been put in the derelict bin, that's it. The next term is incumbent manager. I hope I'm not going to get too much in trouble with this, but we're trying again to define the acting manager. So we've tried to use the manager of record according to IANA, to the IANA database of TLDs. And again, it's trying to differentiate between the parties in a redelegation request. Are there any questions or comments on 4564? Okay.
What's the difference between active and incumbent?
I think the point being made there is when it comes to a redelegation request, the term incumbent refers to the existing manager. And I wonder whether we might amend the wording just very slightly, Bernie, where it says useful when differentiating to used when differentiating, because I think that is pretty much the only circumstances that IANA uses the terminology incumbent manager.
Will do, sir. As for the difference, Eberhard, an active manager is the incumbent manager. An incumbent manager is not necessarily active. It's listed in the IANA database, but maybe it's inactive, or maybe it's derelict.
Good clarification. Okay, carrying on.
Okay. Unresponsive manager, to match up with the AC&TC terminology, and leaving out the AC&TC part again, the manager cannot be contacted by IANA over the short term. IANA will investigate the situation and try and classify it.
Can you page forward? I can't see that page.
You can't see 4565? It's on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad to bring it up. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. We're back to derelict manager. IANA has received formal confirmation that the manager no longer exists or will never be able to be contacted. As we said earlier, derelict means once you're in that slot, there's no coming back. And basically, it's an orphan CCTLD. Are there any questions on 4566?
I don't want to monopolize this, but I think we must differentiate a little bit more between manager and AC&TC, like in 4565. You put AC&TC.
I've put a general rider on this whole section, Eberhard, noting that.
Because I think we should separate manager from contact. If a contact, for example, has left the building and is still on email but doesn't work for the company, how do we do that? Yeah, so that's just, and we don't need to do it today. I'm just saying we need to look at that.
Yeah, that has been noted for that whole section is what I said, and I'm looking forward to having that discussion online. And that would conclude manager. Are there any other general points? All right. Given we've got about 5 minutes left on the call, sir, I would propose that I amend the document where necessary and provide you with an updated copy so that we can get it out as soon as possible and get any discussions going on the list.
Can we, perhaps when we discuss this item by item, I find it very difficult to read these Word documents as a whole, and then, like Martin said, especially if they're not redlined, to look at the changes. I mean, it's better to, for example, send one email per topic or something so that we can discuss it and we have the same subject. We can group these things. It makes much, much easier discussion.
Well, if I may be allowed, sir. maybe what we can do is do both. We'll send out, as
okay.
said earlier in the call, the new versions of documents will go out in redline. That's not a problem. On each of the major areas, we can send out emails and request comments, if that's okay with you, sir.
Sure. No, I find it difficult to work through large Word documents and then spot the things that we need to talk about it. So it's easier if you separate these issues out and discuss them separately. But both will help.
Okay, thank you, sir. Keith, back to you.
He's out smoking, I think.
He's on mute there, that's all. Sorry. Okay, so we'll draw a line at 4.6 and come back and visit 4.6 next week, along with the red line adjustments to the document up to this point. And I see Martin has a question. Martin.
Actually, whether it would be useful for us to make it to the end of the document as our sort of first priority next week, and then to go back and do a second reading, as it were, of the modifications that have been made.
Yeah, that's actually a good call. So we should take it as our MO for next week's call, to start at 4.6 and work our way through the rest of the document, and then, time permitting, come back and revisit the amendments towards the end of the call. Stephen has a question on the chat, saying, how are we going to catch up? We are falling behind. Yes, we are falling behind, but we'll just have to try and get more debate going on the list and try and resolve things on list so that we can make better use of our face-to-face time on, or voice-to-voice time on these calls. Okay. I think going longer than 2 hours would not be a reasonable proposition. And I think it's 2 hours, and interest and attention are starting to flag. So, 2 hours is the maximum in my opinion. But let's work away at that. I noticed Becky is not on the call. We had the issue of the ad hoc group, and Becky was wordsmithing a document which we haven't seen yet, so we'll maintain that as an agenda item. We didn't get a chance to look at the consent document at all, but we'll keep that on the agenda for the next call. And I think other than that, there's nothing I had for today's call. Is there any other points or issues that anyone has?
Yes. I liked the Bill requested that the agenda has been sent out as a calendar item. Christina did that, and I think that's a very good thing. We should send out all these bookings for our phone calls as calendar items on the email.
I guess that's dependent on people who use calendars in that way. I prefer to actually use a pen and a piece of paper for my calendar, but never mind.
Yeah, but Christina can send it out anyway for the ones that use it. I found it quite helpful, actually.
Okay. But yes, so please, Christina, note that, and or Gabby and Christina, and maintain a constant updating of the schedule of calls via calendar notifications, please. Is there anything else? If not, thank you for your participation. Sorry, it was a long and arduous call, and we got to a level of detail in a lot of areas, but very useful conversation and discussion nonetheless. So please continue the discussions on list, and we'll reconvene next Thursday. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good day.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.